coming up today on The Dwelling Place.
My friend, it's just that easy. Just simply say, I believe. Lord, I believe in Jesus Christ. Not, God, I promise I'm going to be a better person. No, no, that doesn't work. Your righteousness is but a filthy rag in the sight of God. Just simply say, I believe. God's listening to your heart even right now.
Dwelling Place, Dwelling Place, Dwelling Place. You are my Dwelling Place, Dwelling Place, Dwelling Place.
You're listening to The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman, pastor of Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Great to have you along. Today we make our way over to Acts chapter 8 and observe a classic example of what's been called a divine appointment. Philip is directed by the Lord to go to a man who was serious about searching for God and just happened to be reading the scripture. But this man needed someone to help him understand it. What a setup! From Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 28, here's Pastor Al.
There are many believers who will always be spectators and not participators because they're not yielded completely to the Holy Spirit. I want you to look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verses 1 to 6, amen. James 4, verses 1 to 6. Listen to what James says. He says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasures that war in your members? You lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. And when you do ask, you do not receive. Why? Because you ask amiss that it may be spent, you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, he calls us out. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Oh, I want God's power and his blessing on my life so that I can impress people. Or is it just for my own fleshly gratification or agenda? You're being a friend of the world. That's the spirit of the world. Whoever, therefore, wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Verse 5, James chapter 4. Or do you think that the Spirit says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. It's that humble person, that broken and contrite heart God does not despise, that comes to the Lord and says, God, I need your help. Fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit. But that arrogant person who wants to just have the power of God or some advantage or they envy what other people have, God sees your heart and you'll never receive anything from the Lord. Bitter, proud, or sinful-minded believers, believers, are too full of themselves to be filled by the Holy Spirit. We must empty ourselves. What's the remedy? Well, we see it there in verse 22. He says to Simon, Peter says to Simon, repent, repent, that God may forgive you for this sin that you have in your heart. You're a bitter person, full of iniquity. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so the Bible says, and Simon answered, praise God with the right answer. He said, pray to the Lord for me, that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me. So when they had testified and preached, that is Peter and John, the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. I think that's interesting. They returned preaching the gospel in many of the villages of the Samaritans. On their way to Samaria, they didn't preach to anybody. At least the Bible doesn't say they did. But after they saw the move of God, the mighty move of God in Samaria, they told every Samaritan they saw on their way back to Jerusalem about Jesus. There again, God's agenda being accomplished. Amen. In verse 26, as we continue, this is good. Amen. God is good. Praise his name. Verse 26, he says, now an angel, the Bible says, and now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, this is desert. And I want to just stop there on verse 26 because it's interesting what's happening here. The angel spoke to him and said, you need to leave a revival. Leave the church of what's happening now. God's pouring out his spirit. People being healing. The Holy Spirit's being poured out. And all these things are happening. And God tells them it's time for you to leave. We don't want to leave them. We like to stay where it's all happening, right? And God tells them, leave. And not only that, go down on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza, but also, hey, by the way, you're going to have to go through the desert. That's a great lesson there. Don't miss it. A lot of times when God calls you, the path that he leads you on often takes you through the desert. People say, oh, I want to serve God. God called you. He did? Oh, okay. You got to go through the desert. The Lord called me to preach his word. And I know it was the fall of 1974, sitting in a Bible college classroom. But I didn't know I'd have to go through the desert, but I did. Through the wilderness for over 20 years, trusting God, believing God, as God solidified the call in my life. It doesn't just happen. Sometimes you got to go through. Jesus, when he was called to ministry, to his ministry on earth, he was baptized by John. Then the Bible says the Holy Spirit led him out into the desert, to the wilderness. Why would God do that to me? He was led out there to be tempted, that he might pass the test to be a pure sacrifice for our sins. For he was tempted as we were, yet without sin. And he passed the test. We have it. No man has. No woman has. But he did, that he might be a pure and holy sacrifice for us. My friend, everybody aspires to be something, but you must go through something to be something. You must go through something to be something. In verses 27 to 35, the Bible says, so he arose. Philip's a great example of faith for us. You know, if you're waiting for everything to be perfect with this pandemic before you walk by faith, you're going to be waiting a long time. God has called us to live by faith now. And Philip didn't wait for perfect conditions. He obeyed the voice of God. The Bible says that he got up and he went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopia at that time, who had charge of all her treasury. And his brother was trusted, amen, and had come to Jerusalem to worship. He's either a convert to Judaism or he was an Ethiopian Jew himself. There are many of them that live in Israel even to this day, Ethiopian Jews. And the Bible says, and he was returning and sitting in his chariot and reading Isaiah the prophet. Verse 29, then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake the chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I understand unless someone guides me? I don't understand what I'm reading unless somebody explains it to me. And he asked Philip to come up and to sit with him. And the place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter and as a lamb before its shears is silent. So he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet speak this? Of himself or of someone else, some other person, some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. And now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Verse 37, and Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. What a beautiful account. There's so many things going on here, so many things that are just such a blessing to look at here. But it's interesting to me that the Lord had him Philip approached this eunuch, an Ethiopian eunuch from Africa. What's a eunuch? Well, a eunuch is a male servant of a royal household in Bible times. Such servants were often emasculated by castration as a precautionary measure, especially if they served among the wives in the ruler's harem.
Pastor Al has more to share with us from Acts 8, so stay tuned.
To market a movie, producers release a preview that attracts an audience. In the book of Revelation, we are provided with a glimpse of coming glory.
This new Jerusalem represents the fact that God desires a tabernacle with mankind, which was God's original intent. Remember in the garden, that was God's original intent, to a tabernacle, to dwell with mankind.
Learn more about God's timetable in Pastor Al Pittman's book, Revelation, Earth's Final Chapter, full of crucial information, because the time is short.
Jesus saying, surely I am coming quickly. See, from God's perspective, you're running out of time.
Al Pittman has transferred his chapter-by-chapter pulpit teachings on Revelation to this much-needed publication. Get your copy of Revelation, Earth's Final Chapter, where you buy books, or online at cwccs.org.
What is the message of the church? It is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Now, to wrap up our message from Acts 8, here's Pastor Al.
Now, of course, he was a leader in the administration, if you will, of Candace. She was a queen, the queen of Ethiopia. But he could have been a man who had been castrated. And probably even more so thinking about the fact that, hey, you don't have to worry about this guy running off with women or whatever. And he's in charge of my money. He probably was emasculated. He probably was castrated. And he said, well, Pastor, what does that have to do with anything? Well, I think it's interesting because the account we find here is very relevant to the times in which we live, because we live in a time where there is gender confusion and there is gender reassignment going on everywhere. There are people calling themselves transgender and all of this. And this is a topic that the church would rather stay away from. They don't want to either talk about it, and God forbid that they actually have to talk to somebody who has gone through genital mutilation. And so we don't talk about it. It's kind of like, you know, it's the elephant in the room. We don't talk about it, but it's with us today. And what surprises me here is that in the text, this man who could have been emasculated, castrated, had genital mutilation done to his body, you know, to make sure that he wasn't running after women or whatever, being ahead of all of the queen's money and all of that. This man, rather than God saying, oh, you know, he's different, don't go there, God says, by his spirit, go near. Don't avoid them. Go to them. Don't shun them. Don't stop them at the door of your church because they're dressed like a woman. You know it's a man. Let them come in. Go near, Philip. Go near. The Spirit of the Lord, the Bible says, told him to do that. You see, people may physically alter themselves, but the gospel is never altered. And whether you have damaged your life or changed your life mentally or emotionally or physically, the need is still the same, the need for a Savior. God is no respecter of persons. And so God told them to go near. In verse 35, Philip says, what are you reading? And he was actually reading, the text is Isaiah chapter 53, verses 7 and 8. It's a messianic text. It speaks of Jesus Christ. In humiliation, he laid aside his justice. He was innocent, but in humiliation, he became guilty for us. And Philip began to share the gospel with him where he was at. What a great lesson for us. Share the gospel with people where they're at. He began to share Christ with him. Well, if I can just get him down to the church building, to a building. No, speak to people where they're at. Can't come to the building right now. Amen. We need to share the gospel with people where they are at. And where he was in the text, that's where he began, and he began to share Christ with him. Now notice something in verses 36 to 37, that Where there is genuine repentance, you don't have to drag people to church or sell people on the gospel. You don't have to appease people to obey the word of God. The Ethiopian eunuch says, hey, there's a mud puddle here, a little bit of water here. What prevents me from being baptized right now? Because obviously Philip had shared with him, believe in Jesus Christ and be baptized. He said, nothing. He said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And the opposite is true, my friend. If you're just playing games with God and you believe you're kind of just frivolously kind of, you know, going through the motions or whatever, you may not. But if you believe with all your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, you may. He said, you may. We can be baptized right now with this water. Amen. And the eunuch answered, I believe. My friend, it's just that easy. Just simply say, I believe. Lord, I believe in Jesus Christ. Not God, I promise I'm going to be a better person. No, no, that doesn't work. Your righteousness is but a filthy rag in the sight of God. Just simply say, I believe. God's listening to your heart even right now. And you'll have an opportunity before we end our service today to say, I believe. To give your life to Christ. 1 John chapter 5, the word says, for whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? In Christ, this eunuch became an overcomer. In Christ. He overcame through faith in Christ the deceptive lies of this world and of the devil, which tells and promises people they'll have life if they will indulge themselves. They'll have life if they just reject God. They'll have joy and they'll have peace. And in reality, all it does is produces ruin and death. The thief, the devil, has come to kill and to steal and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that more abundantly. In verses 38 to 40, as we get close to ending this chapter, the Bible says, so he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized them. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Samaria. Azotus is 20 miles south of Tel Aviv in Israel. And, of course, Caesarea, if you were with us, we went to Israel in February. We went to Caesarea. Caesarea, I believe, is around 54 miles northwest of Jerusalem. And so Philip stayed along the coast. I don't know, he was just liking that coast, I guess. But the Holy Spirit led him that way, preaching the gospel wherever he went. But note something here, that the eunuch went his way, the Bible says, rejoicing. In other words, he didn't need Philip around to have joy. His joy came from the presence of the Lord. Where's your joy coming from as a believer? Our joy is in the presence of the Lord. In your presence, Lord, is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. His presence is what we desperately need. The joy of the Lord, the Bible says, is our strength. The Lord will never leave you. He will never abandon you. I love what Paul the Apostle said in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He was talking about Alexander the coppersmith. Alexander the coppersmith persecuted Paul, gave him a hard time. And Paul said, at my first defense, everybody abandoned me. Nobody stood with me when this guy was coming against me in the persecution. Everybody abandoned me. And Paul said, Lord, don't hold it to their charge. But he went on to say, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17, he says, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, that is the devil. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. I love that. That's been a source of great encouragement for me. All abandoned me, Lord, but you didn't abandon me. And here's the idea. You know what? People will come and go out of your lives. People who said they will always be there with you will one day not be there. But the good news is that the Lord will never abandon you, and he will deliver you from the mouth of the lion. Amen. His presence is our help, and he's a very present help, the Bible says, Psalm 46, verse 1. He's a very present help in time of need. The Ethiopian eunuch understood that, and he went away rejoicing. Now, some people think that Philip vanished into thin air or whatever, but it just simply means that possibly the Holy Spirit led him someplace else, that he didn't just evaporate in the air or whatever. But he just led him somewhere else. But even though the Ethiopian eunuch did not see him from that time on, he was rejoicing. Why? Because the presence of the Lord was sustaining him and keeping him. In conclusion, let me leave you with five things, five takeaways, and I'm going to go through them quickly. The first one is this, from this message. What have we learned? Well, number one, that God uses trials for his agenda. God, a lot of times, will send trials into your lives to get you where you need to be, not where you want to be. That's number one. Number two is that obedience propels us to our purpose. Philip left the revival in Caesarea to fulfill God's purpose. He obeyed the voice of the Lord, even though he knew he would have to go through the desert. The third thing is that the Holy Spirit's help is just an ask a prayer away. The fourth thing is that the gospel is not selective. In other words, it was for the eunuch. Probably someone who's had gender reassignment or genitalia mutilation. And yet God said, draw near. Do not call anything uncommon that God has cleansed. And God so loved the world. And we as a church are called to every man to preach the gospel to every person. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Whosoever, whatsoever you think you are, have been, if you call on the name of the Lord right now, you'll be saved. And the fifth thing is this, that our joy comes from the presence of the Lord. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord.
This has been The Dwelling Place, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Al Pittman, senior pastor at Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. If you enjoy Pastor Al's teaching ministry, we have some good news for you. You can listen, watch, or download an archive of past messages with a simple mouse click at cwccs.org. Just click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com, and you can find One Place on the internet and with a search on your Alexa or Google Play-enabled device. Have you considered becoming a financial supporter of The Dwelling Place? We count on your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. You can support this program with a one-time gift or become a monthly supporter. If you'd like to join our support team, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org, or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find a helpful video, directions, and the current schedule we have for limited access live services at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and join us next time for another study with Pastor Al Pittman, presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Dwelling Place.